We begin today in Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. We're talking about how the Bible came to us. We're discussing how the Bible was passed down through the ages to our time. The scriptures were given by inspiration of God. But copies were made of the scriptures, and copies were made of those scriptures, and copies were made of those copies, and these copies were passed down to our generation. Now, the question that we're looking at is, how do we know that the Bible that we have today is the same Bible that was originally delivered? How do we know that the writings that we have of Paul today are actually the writings that Paul wrote, or that Moses or Peter or anybody else in the Bible wrote? There are some people that believe that the Bible was changed as it was passed down through the generations. Now, usually, when people make that kind of claim, they don't even have in mind any kind of examples of any kind of proof of what they're saying. They don't have any facts. They don't have any evidence. They don't have any historical proof that the Bible was tampered with. And so oftentimes when people say something like this, it's more wishful thinking than it is anything else. It reminds me of people that say that the Bible contradicts itself, and when you ask them, well, can you give me an example? Can you show me where the Bible contradicts itself? And they don't have any idea as to any kind of case of Bible contradiction. And it's the same way with people that say that the Bible was changed as it was passed down through the ages of time. They don't have any kind of proof whatsoever in mind when they say that. And so oftentimes, they're just speaking and hoping that you won't challenge them on that point. Now today, what we're going to do is to start with Matthew chapter 5 because we have an important statement made by Jesus himself about the reliability of the Old Testament scriptures. And then we're going to talk a little bit today about what history does tell us about how careful the scribes were in making copies of the Old Testament scriptures. Now, when you look at the word scribe in the Bible, you'll remember that Jesus oftentimes rebukes the scribes and the Pharisees. And so the scribes, in that way, have a bad name in the New Testament. But that's because of how they lived. That's because of their pride and their hypocrisy. It's not because of the work that they did in making copies of the Bible, because they were experts, and they were very, very careful and very meticulous in making copies of the Old Testament scriptures. So when you find Jesus getting on to the scribes in the New Testament, he doesn't get on to them because he says, well, you have corrupted the Old Testament scriptures by making bad copies. He never does that. What he does is to show them that their life, their practice was wrong. But the work of the scribes in the New Testament period and before the New Testament, going back into the Old Testament, was very, very important. And we're going to look at how careful those scribes were in making these copies of the Old Testament scriptures. But before we do, let's look at Matthew chapter 5, and I want you to notice verse 17 and 18. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Well, you see, the law and the prophets here stands for the entirety of your Old Testament. In other words, in Jesus' day, people didn't ordinarily call the Old Testament, because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. So they referred to the Old Testament scriptures, as we call them, by names like the law and the prophets, or just the law. So what we find then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, is that Jesus is talking about the Old Testament here, and he said, "Don't think that I came to destroy the Old Testament." Now, Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament in all of these prophecies made about him. He fulfilled the purpose of the Old Testament when he died on the cross and when he fulfilled all these scriptures, and of course, later when the church was established. But what we find Jesus saying here is that he did not come to do away with all the work and all the prophecies and all the promises that were made in the Old Testament. Now, obviously, when he died on the cross, the old law was done away with in that sense, because we're not under the law of Moses today. We're under the New Testament law. Colossians 2, verse 14 says that that law was nailed to the cross. And so that law is dead. It's of no effect to us today. But what Jesus is saying here is that he didn't come to ignore and fail to complete and fail to fulfill all the work and all the writings of those Old Testament prophets. So the Bible tells us in verse 18 that Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." Jesus said, "Till heaven and earth pass." In other words, you might as well expect the sky to fall and the earth to fall out from under you as to think that any of the law will fail to be fulfilled. Those prophecies and the purpose of the law is as sure as the world stands. And Jesus said there will not be one jot or one tittle that will pass from that law. Now the word jot there is a word that goes back to the smallest letter in your Hebrew alphabet. It's just a little crook. It's called a yod. And it's just a small little mark that looks like an apostrophe. Jesus said not one of those will pass until it's fulfilled. And then he adds the word tittle here. Now this word tittle literally refers to a horn or a projection, a little point, a little corner in one of those Hebrew letters. So Jesus is saying here that there's not going to be the slightest part, the smallest section of the Old Testament to pass until it's all fulfilled. Well, we're not talking about the fulfillment of these passages today in this lesson, but what we are talking about is the fact that the scriptures of the Old Testament had been passed down through the centuries to Jesus' time in accurate form. And here's the point that we want to make. Jesus refers to the smallest parts. He even talks about the letters and the smallest parts of the letters in the Hebrew words in the Hebrew Old Testament. Now, if those Old Testament scriptures had been changed, if they had been altered as they were passed down through those centuries, then how could Jesus have said this? How could Jesus have talked about every little point in the Old Testament being fulfilled if some of those points had been changed, if some of those letters and some of those words had been altered? Jesus shows in this passage that the scriptures of the Old Testament, even though some of them were at this time about 1,500 years old, were intact. They were pure. So here is just another passage of scripture where Jesus Christ himself says that the Old Testament was preserved. But now what I want to do for the remainder of this lesson is to look at some things that we know from history about how these Jewish scribes were very careful in making these copies of these books. I'm looking right now at the writings of Josephus. Josephus was a Jew that lived in the first century, and he talks about the books of the Old Testament scriptures. And here's one of the things that he says. He says, "During so many ages as have already passed, no one has been so bold as either to add anything to them or take anything from them or to make any change in them." Josephus says they would not dare to do that. Now we know, of course, that many of them didn't live the law. They didn't observe and keep the Old Testament scriptures in their lives. But as far as trying to change them and alter them and add to them and take from them is concerned, those Jews just would not dare to do that. Now let me read to you some of the rules that these Jewish scribes observed when they made copies of the Old Testament scriptures. I want you to notice how careful that they were. Here are just some of the rules that these Jewish scribes had when they were about to make a copy of an Old Testament book. Number one, a synagogue roll must be written on the skins of clean animals. Number two, it must be prepared for the particular use of the synagogue by a Jew. Number three, these must be fastened together with strings taken from clean animals. Number four, every skin must contain a certain number of columns equal throughout the entire codex or book. The length of each column, number five, must not extend over less than 48 or more than 60 lines, and the breadth must consist of 30 letters. Number 6, the whole copy must be first lined, and if 3 words be written without a line, it is worthless. In other words, they had to start over. Number 7, the ink should be black, neither red, green, nor any other color, and be prepared according to a definite recipe. Number 8, an authentic copy must be the exemplar from which the translator ought not in the least to deviate. So in other words, they made sure that they had an authentic copy of the Bible before they even started, and they were not to deviate from it in the least. Number 9, no word or letter, not even a yod, must be written from memory, the scribe not having looked at the codex before him. In other words, if the scribe said to himself, well, I know what that verse says, I'll just go ahead and write it out here, he was not to do that. He was to make sure that he had his eye on every single word before he wrote it down in the copy. Number 10, between every consonant, the space of a hair or a thread must intervene. And these rules just keep going and going. So what we find here is that these Jewish scribes were very, very careful, much more meticulous, and much more accurate than many people would be in making copies of anything else. So what we find then when it comes to the Old Testament scriptures is that they were very carefully preserved. And let me add something else to this. There is a word back in the Old Testament scriptures that is translated in some versions as Jehovah or as Yahweh. In the King James, it's simply translated Lord. Now, here's the history of that word. It's a little four-letter word in your Hebrew, and we do not know exactly how they said it. We don't know if they said something like Jehovah or Yahweh or Yeva or something like that. We just don't know. And the reason that we don't know is because the Jewish scribes thought that that word for God was too sacred to pronounce, and so they stopped saying it. Now, as a result, since the Hebrew language does not have vowels in it, and I know that that sounds very odd and very strange, but it simply does not have the written vowels like our language does, well, the pronunciation was lost over the years. Now, here's my point about that. If those Jews, the same Jews who made copies of these Old Testament books, were so careful about pronouncing this name for God that they were too afraid to even say it, then what does that tell us about how careful they were when they made copies of these Old Testament scriptures? So again, folks, these are just some of the real facts about how the Bible was copied and recopied and passed down to our time. So again, when you hear people today saying, well, that Bible has been changed and it's been rewritten, it's been revised so many times, who knows what it really said in the beginning, then just remember these facts and remember the promise of Jesus that heaven and earth shall pass away, but his words will not pass away.